The following program was made possible in part by Seniors Solutions of Colorado. For more information, visit their website at www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com. Again, that's www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com, or use the handy link that you'll find on the Spotlight page at our website, www.ctkradio.org.
This is Rochelle Faracco, and I'm with Senior Solutions of Colorado. Joan will not be joining us today. She has a tooth issue and is at the dentist taking care of it right now. But we do have a great guest today. It's Mandy D'Ambrosia, and she is a patient advocate. And welcome. You are listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Angela's taking care of us over here on the board. And so, Mandy, welcome. And why don't you share with us your company name and what you're about.
My company name is Arrow Forward Advocacy, and I'm a patient advocate. So what I do is help people navigate through the healthcare system, either through a billing issues, large bills, lots of bills, helping them try to figure out what's going on. And then I also do things with treatment in terms of what are the diagnoses. Typically, most people that I deal with have a lot of diagnosis. And then I also help coordinate the different providers, making sure they're all on the same page in terms of treatment options, and making sure that the family understands it. What's the diagnosis? What are the treatments? What are the costs associated with that treatment? And then, giving it to them in a very easy to understand format so that they can focus more on trying to get better instead of having to deal with
all the worries
and all the cumbersome of the healthcare system, which is extremely complex. And if you're thrust into the system, which most people are, it can be really overwhelming to try to deal with that. So my job is to help them through that process.
Great. Yeah. And that's so needed. You know what, Mandy, why don't you share your background so that people can understand where it is you came from and what you're about?
Sure. So I, first of all, from an educational perspective, I have a master's degree in healthcare administration. I also have an MBA from University of Colorado at Denver. And that's one of the top programs in the nation in terms of healthcare administration. It's a fantastic program. And then I also I've done a number of certifications through the Colorado Patient Navigator Training Collaborative on patient. They call it patient navigators, which is the same word as similar to advocate. It's just a different word for it.
Right.
So I've done lots of different certifications through that. And then on the experience side, I've worked for large insurers. I worked for Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. I've worked for PacifiCare. I worked for the Longmont Clinic, which is a large multi-specialty clinic. They have about, I don't know where they're at today, but when I was with them, they had about 45 to 50 physicians, all different kinds of specialties. And then I've also done some stuff at the Denver Medical Library at Presbyterian St. Luke's Hospital and some other things through University of Colorado at Denver, and they're working with their professors there. So it's a wide range of experience, which I think lends my unique abilities to understand the nuances of the healthcare system, because I've worked in so many different aspects of it that I really understand what's going on.
Well, and one thing I found really interesting when we were talking is you were saying how you actually wrote you helped write the policies as well as hire the physicians for the companies. Is that correct?
Yeah. What I did is I worked with my last job before this was working at Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I was a senior physician contractor. So what that means is I would, on behalf of Anthem, I would go to their large groups. I was their senior physician contractor, so I dealt with all their large groups. And I would go to them, and we would work on contract language of, what are our obligations? What are your obligations in terms of claims and other things like that? And then also, what are we going to pay you? And I was in charge of negotiating all those languages, and then also the payment mechanisms that we were going to pay them for. And excuse me, typically I dealt with really large groups like University Physicians was one of my contracts. New West Physicians was one of my contracts. And all told, if you looked at all my contracts that I personally managed, it was $100 million.
Yeah. You are incredible, girl.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really. That's a ton of experience.
Yeah. And, you know, and my whole goal always has been is customer service. And when I worked at Anthem, my position, you know, could be very adversarial to the other groups. But I never looked at it as an adversarial relationship. And I never looked at it to try and, you know, get the lowest amount possible for the physicians. I always wanted to be, you know, do a good job for them and making sure that I was being ethical and paying them a fair amount for their work. And so the way I did that is through building relationships with the other side. And I worked extremely hard on building those relationships and keeping those relationships open. And a lot of that's through making the system not so cumbersome for that side so that they're not dealing with the hassles. Because when they start dealing with a lot of hassles and they find that your company is extremely difficult to work with, then when they come to that negotiation table, they want to honestly get the most they possibly can. And they're not really interested in hearing what you have to say because they don't have that level of trust that things are going to work out because it's such a pain to deal with you.
Well, and here's the thing. I know with my situation, I talked to Mandy with my mom's situation and everything else. And like Mandy said, she tries to work with the physician or work with the system instead of bucking it and trying to act like the powerful one that of the win-win, you know, and she makes it a win-win situation versus.
Well, I have no interest, you know, when I'm working for a client, I have no interest in trying to make it an adversarial relationship with the physicians that they are that they're using to treat their conditions. You know, that's not going to serve the patient well. That's not going to serve the family well. I'm more about how can we work together? How can we make sure that everything is on the table, that it's all clarified, and that we're all basing all the information is the same for everybody. And I think that not only helps the client, but it's also going to help the physician because they're going to have, everyone has a clear understanding of what is going on. And, you know, when you look at things like, for example, medications, which I will do a medical record audit, and I've done this in the past for my clients. A lot of times those medication lists do not match. And my job is really to make sure that if there are inconsistencies, to make sure those inconsistencies are dealt with and to work with the physician groups to make sure that they understand what the true medications that are being taken and making sure that their system is correct, which, you know, the physician or as a nurse, if they're whoever's prescribing the medications, that's a really important tool for them.
Correct.
And a lot of times, you know, they're very, very busy. They have a ton of patients. If I can do something to help them, then how is that not, why would I not want to do that? Like I said, I don't have an interest in being adversarial in what I'm trying to do.
Right. I notice a lot of times when you go into the physicians, they have a whole list of all the medications and then they're asking the client, what medications are you taking?
Right.
And they're like, the client's like, well, don't you have that on the list? What I'm taking? And they're like, well, we have many. And some of them get kicked out.
Right.
Or the ones they quit taking.
Right. Well, and sometimes you'll have things like the medications will change. You know, you might be taking a certain amount of, say, a beta blocker, for example. And then for whatever reason, they want to change it, maybe side effects or, you know, they want to lower the dose to help with side effects or whatever. And they think they can try that. A lot of times just things will pop up where you'll have part of the record will have one. You might have the old list for the medications, but another part of the record has the new and you're not sure which one they're going off of.
Right.
The other thing I found is a lot of times over-the-counter medications are really inconsistent in terms of what's listed. A lot of times, you know, you might have a primary care that will have 10 or 15 over-the-counter medications. And then you might have a cardiologist that only has 3 or 4. And sometimes those don't even match in terms of the amount they're actually taking. And some of those over-the-counters can have a huge impact. You know, and I worked with a client who was taking potassium, for example. And she had listed that she was taking 2, I think it was 600, I can't remember exact amount. I think it was 600 milligrams of potassium. when the cardiologist only had one 600 milligrams of potassium, and that has a huge impact on the heart. So these are the types of things that I do and work with my, you know, with my clients and their families on, because it really can have an impact on their health and their outcomes.
Right.
And it's so, so important that everyone understands what exactly is going on.
Yeah, you know, and the next, what I wanted to do is a step-by-step with Mandy on the next round after our break, but, of how this procedure works, but I don't, you know, how you work.
Okay.
Like how, when somebody contacts you, et cetera.
Right,
so
right.
We'll do that. Mandy, why don't you get about your information
sure.
on your company?
So again, it's Arrow Forward Advocacy. And my website, which has a lot of information about me and about my business, is www.arrowforward.com. You can reach me via email at mandy@arrowforward.com. And then my phone number, if you want to contact me that way, is 720-361-3508.
Oh, great. You know, on her website, she has the different categories, for instance, diagnosis plans, long-term plans,
right.
acute plans,
right.
hourly pricing, et cetera.
Right.
Is there anything, I mean, we can talk about that
yeah.
too.
Well, so there the different ways that I get paid. Unfortunately, insurance does not cover my services yet. I think eventually it will, but we're not there yet. There has to be a certain number of things that need to happen before that happens. Medicare will most likely be the first to go. And then usually what happens is private insurers always follow Medicare because they are the largest payer. And that's just how it typically works. But I have a package plan, and I have different levels of package plans that people can pay me for. You know, that's basically where I group a bunch of services that are typical together. And then I also get paid via hourly.
Right. And, you know, the public thinks that Mandy's ahead of her time, and the public thinks that an advocacy is very, very expensive. It's very needed,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that expensive. But we're going to talk about that in the next segment. We're going to a break right now. We'll be back shortly with Mandy. You are listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. This is Rochelle Farraco with Senior Solutions of Colorado, and you are listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. They're a great radio station here, and we want to thank Angela. We have a great guest on today, Mandy D'Ambrosia, and her company is Arrow Forward Advocacy. Advocacies right now are very much needed, and the public does not realize that they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
They are working for you.
Right.
Right,
right,
Mandy?
Right. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, I have a lot of clients, which I'll talk a little about in a few minutes. But one thing that I run into sometimes when people contact me, or I'll get referrals, you know, oh, I know someone that really needs to talk to. And a lot of times people are just unsure exactly what it means, or they think they can handle it themselves. And I think what people don't really understand is how complex healthcare is. And I always kind of like to give the analogy. It's kind of like if you had a really difficult tax situation and you thought to yourself, well, I'm just going to do it myself. And a lot of times, unfortunately, if you try to do it yourself and you're in a complex situation, is you make errors. And those errors can cost you dearly in terms of money. But for when you talk about healthcare, it's not just money. It's also your health. It's your life. And if there are things that aren't being happening, or, you know, things that are being dropped that have any big impact, it could end up hurting you in terms of having to get admitted to the hospital. If something had been caught, you wouldn't have had that happen. And just a lot of pain and suffering that you had to go through. And so advocacy is a really new field, but it is a very needed field. And I think, you know, there's a movement towards it. And I've been seeing a lot of press lately about it.
Correct.
And I think you're going to see more and more press about it. And I think it's one of those things that's only going to grow. And especially as people start to get into really complex healthcare plans, I think a lot of times in the past, what has happened is employers have taken on a lot of those costs. When you're talking about an employer-based plan, they've taken a lot of those costs on. And because healthcare is going up so much, I mean, it's almost $1 in $5 that we spend in this country is on healthcare. Employers, wow. Yeah, it's huge.
Wow.
It's about, I think it's 18-19% of our gross domestic product is healthcare expense related. So employers are just not willing to take on those costs anymore. And what you're seeing is they're shifting those costs through high deductible plans at a larger out-of-pocket maximums. So what's happening is, you know, typically before, people just didn't have a concept of how much healthcare actually even, you know, cost. And now that they're starting to see that more and more, and it's really starting to hit their pocketbook, I think you're going to see more and more awareness of the fact that an advocate is needed to kind of help see if we can alleviate some of that burden and stress.
Well, and that's the whole thing is somebody's sick and they're dealing with issues.
Right.
And then they got to think of all this business stuff and how it all works and how do you get better if you got all this to deal
with. You know, I had a client, very nice gentleman. He was one of my first, I've been in business for about a year. He's one of my first clients. And I have to tell you, he's still one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And just this nice guy doing all the right things. And he had a situation that came up where he had to go to the ER. He had, an insurance plan in town that didn't contract with all the emergency rooms in town. And he went to an out-of-network, emergency room. He had a large deductible plan because it's cheaper per month. You know, he's a young, healthy guy. He thought, well, what am I going to need it for? So he went to the ER and it was out of network and he had to pay. He was on the hook for $5,300. Well, this guy, he doesn't have $5,300 just lying around that he can, you know, pay somebody.
Right.
And so he was talking about selling his car, having to bike to work. You know, he was recently married. You know, he was looking forward to the future and now all of a sudden he was thrust into this huge, you know, medical bill that it was totally unexpected. So he actually found me online through my website. His mother was a nurse and she said, you should look into a patient advocate. So he called me. And so I looked at all different, you know, I like to take my time and really think about all the different avenues and what are the ways that I can leverage the situation in terms of trying to do the best for my client. And we looked at all different kinds of things. Well, we ended up finding someone at the hospital that was a financial counselor. And it took me about 3 weeks to find her. And I went through their billing, their centralized billing department.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
That is dedication, girl.
Yeah. But I went through their, you know, their billing department. They're like, oh no, there's nothing we can do for him. That's what, I mean, I contacted the, no, there's nothing we can do for him. And I kept going and going and going. Finally found someone. He was like, oh, he didn't want to go. I had to convince him to go. We go to this meeting and met with this wonderful woman and she looked at his financial situation. And she reduced that bill from $5,300. She reduced it to $100.
Wow.
Based on his financial situation. And I mean, I can't,
for you.
I know, and I can't guarantee that. I want to say that. I can't guarantee that. But it was, I was there for that meeting and to see the expression on his face and to see the happiness and the joy in, you know,
and you
in
gave him hope again.
I know. And it was just such an amazing experience. And that's, you know, one of the reasons that I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I could go back to doing what I was doing before and I loved it, but I wanted to do something that was a more personal, a one-to-one thing. And I really do feel like there's so much out there in terms of, you know, just not understanding what you're doing. And if I can help someone in a true, meaningful way.
And make a real difference in their life. Because Joan and I know in real estate, so many of the issues with credit reports has to do with medical bills that they haven't paid, you know, and things that they never thought they were getting charged for.
Right. I mean, that happens often, you know, and a lot of times what will happen to, for an example is, let's say for some reason you have to go to the hospital via ambulance. A lot of times the ambulance may not have the information in terms of where to send that bill, who to send it to.
Right.
It'll just go into collections without the people even realizing
it. Without them even knowing it.
And then all of a sudden let's say, for example, they're coming to you to buy a new home or refinance or whatever. And all of a sudden, boom, they now have this, you know, $3,000 bill, from the ambulance or sometimes they'll just get a call from a collections agency because it's just gone into collections and they're like, well, had I known this, I would have paid for it. So, you know, there's just so much out there in terms, and that just kind of speaks to the complexity of the fact that
it's very confusing at all.
every piece, you have to understand every piece along that continuum, that healthcare continuum, whether it's the doctor, you know, the hospital, whoever, each is its own separate company. Mm-hmm. And
the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. No. So you need that navigation.
Right.
You need Mandy well, that way.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I have another experience actually along those lines. I had a woman that I knew and her husband had a back surgery and they went to a contracted surgeon and the surgeon did it at a non-contracted facility. And this is
this is happening a lot, isn't
this
it?
This is not uncommon. Typically, you might have a contracted surgeon in the contracted facility, but a lot of times you might have the assistant surgeon is not contracted, the anesthesiologist, who's the one that's, you know, putting you out and monitoring you to make sure you live through the surgery,
right,
is not contracted, or there might be a durable medical equipment in the room that you don't even know. I mean, you're out. You have no idea who's in that room. Not all these pieces
are contracted.
So those
would be out of your own pay.
Yeah, they're considered out of network.
Out of network.
And so what happened with this woman is so her husband went for the surgery and they got a $8,000 bill from the facility because it was out of network. So again, it's all about leverage. So, you know, I knew who their insurer was. I worked with, you know, tried to work with their insurer to say, you know, this facility, is there a relationship between the doctor and the facility? And is that something that needs to be addressed? And then the second thing is working with the facility to try and reduce. I mean, they didn't have $8,000 to give. I think their out-of-pocket maximum was like $12,000. Very high deductible
plan. And a lot
of
people's pride is they can't believe they owe $8,000 to somebody,
yeah,
you
right,
know, too.
Right.
Or whatever.
So, you know, and the facility wanted the whole bill paid in like 6 months. And they couldn't do that.
Right.
So what I did is I worked with the facility on not only reducing the bill, and then I also worked on making the agreement terms to 2 years that they would pay it back. So again, the facility is still going to get their money, not as much as $8,000, but you know, if they were in the network, they would get a much lower reduced rate. First of all, it wouldn't be the just total bill charges. But the other thing is it helped the patient because that way they can plan out for 2 years instead of 6 months to actually be able to pay this. I mean, their only other choice was they said, well, we don't have it. So I guess it's just going to have to go to collections. And unfortunately, that happens. And I've dealt with people where it's gone to collections. And then what I do in those situations is I go in and actually try to negotiate a settlement agreement. Oh, and I've done that as well.
Yeah, because a lot of people end up having to file bankruptcy in mm-hmm. that because of medical
right,
expenses.
Right, right. Yeah, it's the number one reason for bankruptcy. Is medical yeah. ill bills.
Wow. Mandy, why don't you give out your information again
sure.
on the company?
It's Arrow Forward Advocacy. Again, the website is www.arrowforward.com. Again, email is mandy@arrowforward.com. And my phone number is 720-361-3508.
You know, one thing, I was just looking at your website here real quick, and I wanted to see, you know, you say the diagnosis plans, long-term plans,
yeah.
acute plans. Mm-hmm. Why don't you explain what those are?
Sure. So, you know, what I wanted to do is, along with my hourly pricing, I wanted to be able to group services together to make it easier for people to plan and feel comfortable in understanding what this cost was actually going to be for them. And so, what I tried to do is group those services together, and I have a real basic plan where I'm just going to go in and I assess, I figure out the diagnosis, the treatment, the costs, and then I give it to the patient and their families. And then I have other ones where I'll actually go with them to a number of visits and take notes and different
talk
things.
With the doctors or
and talk with
to
the doctors.
Nurses.
And I talk to the doctors. Well, it's usually not the doctors, it's usually the nurses. I
right.
talk to them for both of those plans, but I just give more services with the larger plans that science. I do.
Okay, great. We're going to talk to Mandy when we come back the next time around. This is Rochelle Faracco with Senior Solutions of Colorado, and you are listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. We're back.
This is Rochelle Faracco with Senior Solutions of Colorado. You are listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. And we have Mandy D'Ambrosia back with Arrow Forward Advocacy. And boy, are we lucky to have her here today.
Thank you.
Really lucky.
Thank you.
So, Angela, let's talk about your process.
Okay.
With advocacy.
My process with advocacy. So, first of all, I like to meet with the clients, whether they just call me over the phone or I get a personal referral from someone or, some other source. I like to be able to meet with the people. And usually I can do that over a phone call, in a phone call, a 10 or 15, 20 minute phone call, and just talk to them about what are your issues, what's going on. And then what I try to do is figure out, number one, am I a good fit? Not everything do I do. And the things I don't do, I'm trying to build a really strong network of people. For example, I have a really great company that, works on placing people in long-term care facilities, for example. I know some great elder law attorneys, that I can refer people to. So there's certain things that I'm not going to do, and I'm going to be upfront and honest with that, and I'm going to try and give them a resource to go to. So,
and that's a really important piece because that's a main question, is what don't you do?
Right.
Versus,
right.
Because that's the piece. Right. A lot of people will always come in and say, this is what I do. This is what I do. Right. But they don't know what that person doesn't do.
Right. Well, I think when you're a new business owner, you want to, you feel like you can do it all. I can do everything. Yeah. I'm just going to do it all. Right. And then as you get into it, you realize that there are certain things that you just love and there are things that you think you're the best at.
Right.
And there are other things that, I could do, but I don't think I'm as good at. One would be placement. There are so many facilities out there and you really need someone that is going day to day, that deals with that day to day, that understands the complexities of it, understands what's going to be the best fit for someone based on different criteria for that person and their families. Another thing that I don't do is, the whole Medicare to Medicaid spend down. A lot of people don't understand that Medicare does not cover your stay outside of usually like 30 days in a long-term care facility or a skilled nursing facility. So a lot of times it's extremely complex to go from Medicare to get to Medicaid. It's a spend down. An attorney could be great in terms of helping you try to figure out how can you protect your assets or different things like that so you can get to that spend down. Again, that's not something that I feel qualified to do. I could fill out the Medicaid paperwork. Yeah, it's about a 50-page, application to fill it out. But I do think that there are people that do that day to day that I think are more qualified. I'm not a broker. I'm not there to, try to sell you a health insurance plan. If you have different plans, I can talk to you about, what's your risk and what are you looking to do? And I have done that for people in the past, but I'm not there as a broker to sell health insurance to you. The other thing that I'm not really well versed on is mental health issues. Obviously, depression, anxiety, simple things like that. I'm talking more like bipolar disorder. You need to be, admitted to a psychiatric facility. I don't feel qualified in order to do that. I'm more on the medical, that's medical too, but a different kind of medical, side of things.
So what are you crazy good at?
I'm crazy good at bills.
Yeah.
That's
an important one.
I know, I'm very detail oriented. I'm a bit of, I don't like the term bulldog, but I'll use bulldog in a way. I really keep going. If I hear no, typically not okay with that. It's not okay with that. I mean, it's like the guy with the 3 weeks, right? And I had other things that I was in my back pocket. We were going to try if that didn't work. I really, really want to do best by my clients to make sure that we can get the best possible outcome for them. I had, a situation.
That is so needed.
I know. I had a situation with a person. She just had a lot of bills and she was like, I don't know. Are these right? And, what's going on with them? And I just helped sort them out in terms of just helping her understand what was going on. I have a client right now where they had one insurer and then they went to another insurer and they've been having issues getting their claims processed correctly. So I have been working off and on for the last 4 weeks, calling all the different physicians, working with their insurer to try to get all these claims figured out. And I think we started with about probably about 15, and we're down to 3. So it really is very methodical. It's a lot of, you know, work in terms of figuring that out. And I think that's, I have a really strong skill set. And part of the reason I have that strong skill set, I mean, it's partly just my personality and who I am as a person, but it's also based on my background.
Understanding it and knowing it.
I understand it. Right. And again, you know, I'm very relational based. I like building relationships. And, you know, working with the different parties is something I'm good at. I'm good at customer service. And then the other thing is treatment plans. They're complex and they're fascinating. And to me, it's kind of like a puzzle.
What do you mean by treatment plans?
So helping people figure out what are their diagnosis? What are your treatment options? Working with all the different pieces. And every person is different and every story is different. And helping them get to the place they need to be is so key. You know, I had a client who, you know, I'd been hired to help her mother, and she was having a lot of different health issues. But really, she was part of the issue. I think the big issue that she was having is the primary care doctor that she had was just not a good fit for her in terms of where she was currently at. I think when she wasn't having those issues, it was fine because, you know, if you have, you don't really have any issues, you just kind of go maybe for a yearly checkup, or if you're not feeling well, that's fine. But when you start to get down a path of having large diagnosis and other issues that are going on, and you really need more of a partner, and she really needed a geriatric doctor is what she needed. But she was in a unique situation where she was very limited on who she could choose from because of how her insurance was structured. And so I worked with her and her family on, number, what are your needs? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what your needs are. Geographically, what are your needs? Medically, what are your needs? You know, obviously insurance, she had the needs in terms of staying within that network of doctors. So I worked with her and her family and did a ton of research on all these different doctors and found one that I thought was a really good fit. And I said to them, well, let me go to your first visit, you know, and I met with them ahead of time and did physician coaching, which is something I do. I work with the client and usually their families on, what do you want to get out of this visit? Because a lot of times, you know, a doctor only has 10 or 15 minutes, if that, to sit with you. And so you really need to be focused.
And that's one thing you're really good at, pinpointing and staying focused.
Staying focused. And what are your top three things you want to get out of this visit? And then I went with her to the visit and I took notes and, you know, wrote everything down so they could sit there and listen to the doctor instead of having to worry about, are they getting every minute detail down? I was there getting those details down. And actually, this doctor was, I think we were there for 40 minutes. I mean, it was amazing. 40 minutes, I think we were there for.
Yeah, with the doctor, which is great.
And she was a geriatric doctor, which is what this woman needed. And she was fantastic. Not only was she fantastic, her whole office staff was fantastic. I mean, it was something just amazing.
So refreshing.
Yeah. And, you know, and to know that I helped them get there, to know that.
Mm-hmm. You made a difference.
I made the difference because what they were getting and what they're getting now is so much better. And I called, you know, so I didn't go to their next visit. I said, oh, I think you guys have it. You know, if you need me, I'm here. Let me know. But I called her after her second visit because I wanted to know how did that second visit go? And she said it was better than the first. And to know that I've left them in a better place than where they started.
That's what we're supposed to be doing in
life.
That's
so awesome.
It's so awesome. Woohoo! Really?
Yeah.
But that's the piece I like about you too, is that you're willing to come on board with wherever they're at.
Yeah, exactly.
In their process.
Right, right. You know, I mean, obviously the sooner I start, the easier it is, but I'm not opposed to coming in midstream or, you know, because no matter where I am in that process, I have confidence in myself and who I am as a person, what I bring to the table, that I'm going to make some amount of difference to that person. And really it is, you know, stress can have a huge impact on your outcomes and a huge impact on your caretakers. And in fact, you know, there are studies that show the caretaker of someone that's ill ends up worse in terms of health outcomes than the person that they're taking care of. And so for me to be there to help alleviate that stress and burden, you know, can be such a huge impact, not only to the patient, but to their family. And, you know, that's kind of what I did for that family, is allow them to really try and focus on their loved one. And then if you have a situation where you're dealing with someone that unfortunately may not make it out of the situation they're in, do you want to spend your time and energy calling doctors and calling insurance and calling all these people to try to figure it out? Or do you want to spend that time with the loved one?
With the loved one.
And making those memories and making those connections and making that meaningful time. That to me is so much more important than the cumbersome task of trying to navigate the healthcare system.
Totally. You know, for the common public out there, as far as, can you give us a range? I know you have all different kind of packages and all that kind of thing, but people still want to know what kind of, can you give us a range of what you would charge hourly? Or?
Sure. So my hourly rate is, it's usually, depending on the case, it's $45 to $50 an hour. And I think, you know, there are other patient advocates in town and nation, and I'm on the lower end.
Yeah, you are.
Of where that is. You know, and I,
that's great.
And I kind of want to be there, frankly, because I think that allows me to help more people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fine balance between, I feel like I have a lot of experience and I feel like I have a lot of value, but also to be at a rate that people can afford and are willing to pay. So 45 to 50 an hour is my typical. And then my packages start about $450. And again, you're getting probably, that's a discounted rate, what it would be normally. I think it's 8 to 10 hours. And then the complex thing is more like $650. Mm-hmm. So,
which is extremely reasonable. Yeah. For all that work, and then you'd be spending hours and hours and hours. You know.
Well, you know, I had a plumber come out. I had a plumber come out, look at my sink for, and it was $150.
Exactly, because they charge you for the trip and
everything. He changed a washer.
Yeah, right. Oh, I mean, your service is amazing. So this is Rochelle Faraco with Senior Solutions of Colorado. We're going to be back with Mandy. The next part is going to be her personal story and her husband's personal story. And so you're listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. See you soon. This is Rochelle Faraco with Senior Solutions of Colorado. You can reach us at 720-295-6263, and we're a one-stop shop for seniors in helping them, guide them, navigate them for information, education, and resources. You're listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org, and we have a great guest on today, Mandy D'Ambrosia with Arrow Forehead Advocacy. And Mandy, we just want to ask, how did you get into this kind of?
Sure. So probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I had friends of mine that lived here in Colorado. They had a mother that was lived in North Dakota, and they started to notice changes with her and eventually found out that she had ALS. Mm. And ALS is, I don't know if you know
it's
anyone.
It's a tough one.
Oh, it is a really difficult disease. And I actually have a good friend of mine whose husband has ALS, and they had moved to Nevada because he's doing all these different clinical trials. And it's just a really difficult disease. So they were here in Colorado. Again, she's in North Dakota, and they were having to spend just hours and hours on the phone trying to coordinate all this stuff, trying to make sure that she was getting the best care possible. And I have to tell you, they did an amazing job, but it, you know, it came at a cost, and it was a lot of work and time for them. And so, you know, they had asked me, because they knew I was in the healthcare business, they said, Mandy, isn't there someone that can do this? You know, and at that time, there really wasn't anyone out there, especially probably in North Dakota. There really wasn't anyone out there, but it started to kind of give me that idea and kind of percolate in my, you know, my head and my brain about the idea of a patient advocate, the idea of help having someone there to help through the process when you're dealing with such a large diagnosis. And I started to do research, and I started to really think about it and how would that look. And I talked to people in the healthcare business, you know, healthcare industry about, you know, the concept of patient advocate and what that was, and really started to get into it. And so that was kind of the idea that got me started. Now, as I said, it was 4 or 5 years ago, and now here I am, and I've only been in business a year. What happened between now and then? So what happened between now and then was in 2012, my husband, actually it was the end of 2011, you know, December, my husband was not feeling well. My grandfather actually died in December of 2011. So I was kind of a little scattered brain in terms of figuring it out. But he was not doing well. My mother was actually the one who first pointed out, like, man, I don't think he's doing well. He's not eating a lot. And he had lost probably about 25 pounds in a month. And I didn't even realize it.
This is your husband?
This is my husband.
Okay.
Didn't even realize it. So he was not feeling well. And he was actually getting ready to switch jobs. And I said to him, I think you need to go into the doc. You know, he was kind of him and high. I said, you need to go to the doctor before you switch jobs. So he said, okay. So he went in and he actually had this physician assistant that saw him. And the physician assistant was actually pretty bad. He said, oh, because he said, I have itchy skin. And he said, oh, you're just getting older. Well, you know, my urine's a weird color. Oh, you're just dehydrated. But he did draw blood. And in between then and that was like on a Thursday or Wednesday. And in between then and on Sunday morning, he woke up and the corners of his eyes were yellow.
Wow.
So we ended, it was very scary. We're like, you know, so my husband's like, oh, well, I'll call tomorrow. I said, no, you're going to call today. So he called and they said, yeah, your bilirubin is high, which is so in your liver, it's something that's processed through your liver is bilirubin. And, if it gets high, it can create things like itchy skin, yellowing of eyes. So you're basically like jaundice. You can get actually like white colored stools and very dark urine. It's, you know, so that's, he was having all these symptoms.
Part of the lungs?
Liver. Okay. Liver. Yeah. It drains out and it drains out through your bile duct. So the bile duct is kind of like a tree that goes through the liver. And so what had happened, so we went into a local hospital and they said, well, you might have a gallstone because that's, sometimes it'll be raised because you have a stone that's blocking that bile. So they said, well, you probably have a gallstone. So we went in, we had an ultrasound, and they said, no, you don't have a gallstone, but there's something not right about your liver. We're not sure. We want you to do a CT scan. So we did a CT scan, and then we met with a GI physician at this local hospital who basically told my husband in 3 minutes flat that he was going to die. Not a very good experience at all. You know, he went in and he did a scoping procedure to see what he said my husband had was.
Probably couldn't even breathe at that point.
He actually told him to stop. Please stop talking. That's what he said. Please stop talking. Cause he felt like he was going to pass out. And, he said, what I think you have is cholangiocarcinoma, which is a cancer. It's a very rare cancer, of the bile ducts. And, basically the tumor is what was causing the bile to be, you know, push back into his liver and not drain the way it needed to do. And so they did a scope to see if they could open that bile duct. And unfortunately, he was not successful in that. The one good thing about that doctor is he said, you need to go to University Hospital. Yeah. We're not, you know, we can't do this here. You need to go to university. So we went to university, going through that whole process of getting there, getting the referral. You know, I was on the phone making sure it happened. And,
didn't you tell me at one time, anytime somebody has a real specialty?
I would personally say university with the exception of a few things. For example, if you had needed a bone marrow transplant, my opinion, and other people can disagree with me, but my opinion is you would go to Presbyterian St. Luke's. They do an amazing and phenomenal job with bone marrow transplants. But there's not a lot of, actually, the only other institution to do transplants for liver is actually Porter Hospital. They have a small program, and then university does the bulk of them. Okay. So, at any rate, so we ended up going to university, and my husband was not, again, he was not feeling well. And at that point,
he couldn't make the decisions.
No, that was my biggest concern. I just wanted him to feel better. I wanted someone to be able to open up that bile duct to help him. And I have to tell you, they have an amazing team of endoscopic GIs. I'm trying to think a specialist or there's a therapeutic specialist there that are just amazing. And they were able to get it open. So they got it open. So that bile started to flow and it made him feel better. You know, then over the next couple of months, we went from, you know, different doctor to different doctor to figure out were there options for us. You know, we looked at surgically just cutting off part of where the cancer was.
Right.
We looked at, you know, all the different options. Cause a lot of times for cholangiocarcinoma, there's not a lot of options. It's kind of like, pancreatic cancer. It's just kind of a death sentence. Right. You know, we can do stuff to help you. But the cool thing was, is we were able to figure out that, the Mayo Clinic is the one that started it. They were doing, liver transplants for people with cholangiocarcinoma. We're having good success with it. So we went up to transplant and talked with them. And my husband got on the list to get a cadaver donor. But he also had a number of people that stepped up. His brother stepped up. Unfortunately, he didn't. And it's a very rigorous process to go through in order to be a donor.
They have to test so thoroughly. And
just so people know, the liver is one of the organs that regenerates. So you can actually cut off part of it, put in another person, and then it actually grows to the size that you need it. It just regenerates on its own. That's one of the few organs. I think it's the only organ that really does that. So it's an amazing thing. So his brother didn't make it. He had a coworker who was amazing. I mean, coworker
would offer.
Well, yes, Ray. That's his name. Ray would come and do that for us. And his cousin, he didn't make it because he had a heart condition he didn't know about. And then we had a cousin. She didn't make it. And then finally
Boy, he's very loved.
I know.
Yeah.
He finally had his youngest sister came, and she said that she would do it. And so in November of 2012, he had a liver transplant. And
Amen.
So, and, you know, he's been doing really good. We've had some complications from the liver transplant, which is not uncommon, but my husband, I can't say enough about him. He's such an amazing person. And to do what he's done, it's just been amazing. But I have to tell you, I'm very much a go-getter kind of gal. And when I was going through this process with him, one thing that I learned as a caretaker is allowing the other person to lead. And I think that has allowed me to be a better advocate, because I think it's easy to want to take over.
Take control.
But the person that's going through that process, it feels very out of control for them. They feel like, you know, their body is not doing what it's supposed to do. They don't know what's going to happen to them. I mean, I thought I was going to be a widow, you know, by the end of the year.
Well, that just gives me goosebumps.
So, you know, to go through that process and to be that patient, it wouldn't have served me right. And it was a process for me. I'm going to be honest. It was a process for me to allow him
to lead,
to lead and to have his own voice. And I tried very hard to allow him to do that. And I think that made me a better advocate. So even though that's not the reason I went into it, and I think I have an extensive healthcare background and I had the experience with my friends, I do think it's had a tremendous impact on how I do my job and how I am as an advocate and allowing the person, even if I don't agree with the decision. It's not my job to agree I'm not going to agree with every decision someone's going to make. My job is to advocate for them at the best possible way. The other thing that I think obviously is it's allowed me to be to have a lot more, you know, sympathy and empathy for the caretaker, because that is a very, very difficult role. I don't think people really understand how difficult it is to be the caretaker and to help have an actual personal understanding of what that person is going through allows me to be a better advocate for not just the patient, but typically
for the caregiver, the spouse, partner,
the kids, whatever. And so,
Wow, that's a really good piece of information, Mandy. I mean, those last couple of pieces that you shared. Wow.
So, like I said, it was an amazing, it wasn't a journey. And in some ways I grew so much as a person. We grew as a couple. We grew as a family. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't want to go through it, but I feel like I've gained so much from it.
It was your journey.
It was my journey.
It was your journey. And unfortunately, we have to go, but we want to thank you so much, Mandy, a lot. Wow. This is Rochelle Faraco with Senior Solutions of Colorado. You are listening to Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Again, thanks, Mandy.
Thank you.
The preceding program was made possible in part by Seniors Solutions of Colorado. For more information, visit their website at www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com. Again, that's www.seniorssolutionsofcolorado.com. Or use the link that you'll find on the spotlight page of our website, ctkradio.org. www.ctkmedia.org. This program was produced by CTK Media Services, a division of Christ the King Radio Ministries.